When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Bigfoot Collectors Club with Bryce and Michael. I know a ghost story or two. Let's do this.
Hell yeah.
Woo!
Coming in hot.
Welcome to Bigfoot Collectors Club, episode 38, the podcast where we talk to amazing guests about their personal paranormal history and tell tales of high strangeness. I'm your host, Michael McMillan. With me always is your other host,
Bryce Johnson,
and our trusty producer,
Riley Bray,
and Nova the Superdog, who is currently climbing into our guest's lap. Oh boy, Grace is going to get mad. He's not allowed on the couch, but our guest today is not only a huge animal lover and puppy advocate, she is a very successful and talented actress who has starred on shows like Psych, Back in the Game, The Ranch, Two and a Half Men. The list goes on and on. Honestly, wow. I don't think I know anyone who works as consistently as you do. It's insane. This fall, you can see her on season 3, correct, of Lethal Weapon. Welcome to the show, Maggie Lawson.
Yay. Thank you. Yay.
Hi, Maggie.
Hi.
Did you know you were going to be here 2 weeks ago?
No. I mean, no.
Well, she's here.
Well,
of course
I'm here now.
Does anyone know they're going to be anywhere?
Anywhere. Right? No. I never know. No,
I know. Maggie and I recently got back in touch because we both had the shared trauma experience of watching Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom in the Cinerama Dome. Ooh. You were sitting 3 rows behind me. I was sitting by myself, which was sad enough as it is.
It was. The saddest part was walking into the bar next door and you were having a drink by yourself before Jurassic World.
That's just the way I roll.
Then, no, yeah. I love that too. I do that too. But it was very funny because it was like, what are you seeing? It was like, Jurassic World.
I believe that's called an artist's date.
It's called, yeah. I take myself out for a little bachelor date every now and then.
That's right.
I think I had recently become single. And then I was also like, fuck it, I'm just going to go see. I didn't want to go see the movie with anyone because I knew I probably would not like it.
Right.
And I didn't want to bring the party down. I didn't like it. But of course, like the lesson that I refuse to learn is if I know I'm not going to like something, don't go see, you know, because I'm just like, but it's still Jurassic
Park.
But
was there just like a little hope? Exactly. There was like some hope there that like it might be, it might blow your mind or surprise you.
Instead, it made that T-Rex look like an idiot.
Right.
Oh boy, it was a bummer. But then we got back in touch.
A good laugh, yeah.
And then Maggie and I met years ago in Vancouver when I was working on a TV show called Saved.
Oh, cool.
That was like a decade ago.
I know, because I've only been in like 3 jobs since. And you've been on 300 jobs since. No, it's not a competition. But you were filming season 1 of Psych during that time.
And
so
you were doing Saved. And were we all I feel like we were all ended up in that Gerard bar all the time in
the
Vancouver.
The Gerard Butler.
Yes.
Memorial bar.
It's a very dirty bar in Vancouver.
You were just in Vancouver, weren't you?
Yeah,
were you staying at the Sutton?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Sutton, describe what the Sutton is for people who are not in the Hollywood.
Well, the Sutton's
business.
Like the go-to hotel for like entertainment professionals who come to Vancouver to film or do any of that stuff. And I remember one time I was up there and I think our line producer, he was like, I've lived here 7 years. He was like, I think doing MacGyver for the whole season, he stayed at the Sutton. So he literally like that was his home.
He lived in the
Sutton? He lived in the Sutton in the same, you know, hotel room and for pretty much the entire run of the season.
I get that because they really do know how to, like, they take very good care of the film people who come up and, but
they know what they're doing there.
Yes.
They know that they're like a hotel for FPs.
So it's nice.
I love to get pampered like that too. That's probably the one of the perks.
Yeah, so a little tip, if you're visiting Vancouver, go check out the Girard Lounge anytime between 5 p.m. and midnight, and you will see famous people just hanging out.
They redid, you know, they redid that whole bar restaurant
area. Oh, they did?
I know, this is very exciting, but yes, but they kept the Girard exactly as it was.
It's so great.
It's so great.
It's like a sportsman's lodge.
Yes, 100%. Mm. It's very... I call it the Slutton Place.
Yeah.
So. The Slutton Place.
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah, there's a lot of illicit hookups that take place.
Really?
Where did you end up living? What area in Vancouver did you live?
Mostly around there. I ended up staying, so I stayed at the Slutton one season. Uh-huh. I feel like every furnished residence place up there kind of catering to the film, like I stayed in all of them. And the Slutton really does... They get it right.
They get it right.
I don't even know what that means, but they get it right.
Now I want this Slutton to be, this random hotel in Vancouver, be our first official sponsor.
That'd be great.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll come podcast up there.
How was your trip? We missed you last week, Bryce. How was your, you were filming, what were you filming up
there? Oh, yeah, I guess we're officially back, right? Because we did a movie night, Mike Riley and I.
That'll
a couple
be up
nights ago.
On Friday, if you're listening to
which
this.
Which was awesome. So, I'm officially back, and I really missed you guys, and I especially missed... that super fantastic guest, Joe Manganiello. I guess I would have learned that if I was there. Yeah. but no, I was up there filming an episode of The Good Doctor, and I had a great time. And yeah, it's nice to be back.
Great.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Fantastic.
We missed you.
Missed you guys,
and
too.
You were in Bigfoot's like home turf.
No, I was. Pacific I was. I didn't have time to go looking for him, but
you know where you should have checked.
I sent out a few psychic messages.
Craft services.
I was going to say the Girard Gillette.
The Girard.
Yeah. Right. Totally.
Okay, guys. Well, Bryce, we know we only have you for a limited time today. I feel like all of our listeners are now concerned that you're never going to be on the show again, including me. But here we
don't
go.
Don't say that,
guys. We have some. BCC News.
BCC News.
Okay, so this is a story, Bryce, you texted to Riley and I earlier this month, speaking of Canada.
Mm.
This is from Fox News, my only source for facts.
Good.
So a eerie video went online showing a strange creature stalking what looks like a moose. I'm going to pass my phone to Maggie so she can watch this.
Yeah, it was creepy.
Okay, check this out. Pass it over to Maggie.
All right, cool. Oh, did I just hit your power button? I do this all the time.
Well, that's okay, what happened. And then, come on, Dad.
All right, sorry. Handling a phone. Where's the flash?
We were making the joke earlier that this is like when your teachers in elementary school would set up a VCR in the classroom, you know, because I was there in the 80s.
There you go.
So if you take a look at this, the story is...
Should I press play?
Yeah.
Yeah, press play and check this out. This is a...
What?
Press play and then open your mind.
Hold up.
Yeah. This was a family was in Quebec, and they were filming a moose on their video camera on the phone, and then when the father got back and checked the footage later, he noticed what looks like a strange pale creature with long legs stalking the moose in the background.
Yeah.
Oh, she's seen it.
Looks a lot like
Gollum.
Wait,
I have to
watch it again.
I didn't hear anything you just said, by the way. I'm
watch
completely
it.
Good. You are focused.
How can you
on the
not
paranormal
be?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird video, isn't it? Yeah, it's strange, right?
This. Yeah.
So what do you so basically they were on you know, driving along, see this moose, take a film of it, and then strange golem-like creature seems to appear from the tree line. Now the story got picked up by The Sun, all the reputable newspapers just went around and skeptics, well I will say that people think it looks like Gollum. Obviously I don't think it's Gollum, but there is also a figure from Creepypasta known as the Rake, which is like a vicious, pale, long-legged monster that supposedly feeds on people and animals.
That's what it looked like.
But I think that creature is really
I'm a little blown away right now.
Okay.
But this monster or whatever this thing is, it looks very hungry.
Yeah.
For sure. looks like it's, sorry.
Describe it, please, in real time. This is what we want.
It's kind of, it's hard to tell because the trees are, they're like birch or something. So they have this sort of white, hang on, is that the arm? These look like arms and legs.
Yeah, it's creepy.
And a white face. And it looks like it's kind of like stalking, like about to pounce. That's what it looks like.
Yes, and there's another...
I can't stop watching, I'm sorry.
Mysterious creature of folklore that stalks the wilds of Canada known as a Wendigo.
Yeah,
which
that's
is
right.
Sort of like a more powerful, evil Sasquatch that sort of has like shamanistic and mm-hmm. spiritual and ghost abilities. So some people are saying it's that. Now, I have a theory, I have a skeptic theory that I think destroys this mm-hmm. video completely. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Save it for your other skeptic podcast. You do both. You have this one and then a skeptic one.
Yeah.
I want to hear.
I think it's a smudge on the windshield. I think it's there's a smudge on the windshield. If you watch the video again and you look closely.
No way.
The creature, in quotes, tracks with the movement, the wobbly movement of the pass that over back. I'll show it to you again. Pat moves along with the jibbly jabbly jobbly motions of the camera, and there is also a reflection here on the dash. It is the exact same color that it sort of stays in parallel with the entire time. Watch it again, and I think once you see it, you can't unsee it.
I just want to say,
I think
how
it's like a smudgy. Bird poop kind of smudgy or grease spot on the windshield. Not grease, but you know, just like dirt, dead bug. Play it, watch it.
Okay, hold on, replay.
Because then you also see that it's not going in between the trees. It's superimposing on the trees.
Okay, daddy's got the phone.
Oh, you just ruined it again.
Oh,
I'm on another video.
I'm just trying to watch my Fox News.
All right, here we go. Yeah. So I think that it's, and other people have gone, yeah, that looks like a... I'm passing it through Riley this time.
Yeah, better choice.
Say that it's got to be...
I don't want to know the truth.
A smudge on the windshield.
I'm not interested in your
skeptical
theories.
Well, when you sent it originally, I was like, I don't buy it. Yeah. At first, I thought it was like a little bit of CGI. And now I'm like, I think it's just a smudge on the windshield.
Well, I was going to say
or a reflection.
CGI, but...
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
There's some counter movement.
Yeah, counter movement, Mike.
I'm seeing counters.
The creature is building counters. Yeah.
Window smudges don't counter,
he's
bro.
He's trying to make a nice little moose burger chain.
Let's see here.
Yeah. Well, I think they captured a Wendigo.
I think so, too. And for the record, I was the one who texted that originally.
Yeah, right.
It was from you? I thought it was from Bryce.
That's right.
It was from me when I was on tour.
You guys blend
that's
together.
That's right. That's
sometimes
right.
I call you Briley.
You sent us that.
Which you just call it out from a mountaintop.
I will start saying Briley.
Briley.
You
like, well,
to
Briley.
Assemble the team.
I'm not sure what you
Briley. McBriley. Cool.
I think it's real.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Real or smudge, you decide.
Oh, yeah. So we'll put that link up in the show notes. Okay, everybody. Now it's time for the section of the show we like to call personal paranormal history.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie,
ooh.
This is all about you now. You're our guest. We want to get into what strange things you might have encountered in your lifetime.
I feel like I'm from Louisville, Kentucky, and we have a lot of stories. I mean, I think every city does. But like, so I feel like I have so many, and we only have like a little time for this podcast. There's
go get into it.
I
we'll
know
take
there's
all the
a ghost
time
in my
need.
House in Kentucky.
Okay, start,
let's
there.
Start there.
No
yeah.
question.
Okay, still
but,
the family house?
Still the family house. My mom is still there. But ghost was not discovered. Like, we had lived in the house for years. And ghost didn't appear, or I'm just going to call it ghost. But I think we'd probably been there like 4 or 5 years. And I moved to the upstairs. So we had this, there was an attic space that we sort of turned into a bedroom space. And left some of the attic, but like, so there was already some creepy vibes with the upstairs.
Sure.
Yeah. And after I moved into that room, which was several years after living there, I'm probably 8 or 9 at this point. There was a night where I very clearly heard like just perfect footsteps going across. So there were these, we had these like old hardwood floors and they were covered in carpet, but there was a cracking sound anytime anybody walked across.
Right.
Like a very distinct, you knew when somebody was walking across that floor.
Right.
This happened one night, woke me up repeatedly, and I got very scared. And I ran downstairs and I told my mom and my dad about it. And they were like, we were wondering what you were doing.
Oh, man.
upstairs in the middle of the night. And so shook it off. Maybe it was a dream. Maybe, you know, whatever. And so everybody was just like, yeah, I know.
Wow.
And then it continued. No, it continued. And for years. But it never frightened me again that way. Like, I always felt this, like I don't know if... I don't, not that it was comforting, but it was like, okay, all right, we can all exist here. Like, even as a kid, I remember being like, I'm just going to have a conversation with this weird being that's in my room right now. Because it was so, you could feel, you can feel it.
And did you have a conversation?
I did.
What did you talk to her
about? I used to tell the ghost, like, it's all good. We can, like, be here. I've done this. I still do it when I go to Kentucky. Yeah, whoa. Like, if I hear this sound, like, it's always like, no, we can be in this space together.
This is like the Weasleys in Harry Potter had the ghoul that lived in the attic.
Yes. Exactly. Mm. That's sort of what I feel like it was like we invaded a space and that and this being or entity, whatever, was like letting us know like, hey, I was here first. That's just the way my little 7-8-year-old self kind of like registered.
Are you the bravest person in the world?
No, yeah, guys, totally. I'm telling you, but like cool. It never disturbed like it was never really frightening other than the sound. So like that was the first thing. And then years later we had like friends staying in the house and those footsteps like freaked that person out so much they called and they're like, we cannot stay here anymore.
Right.
Yeah, I'd moved to LA. My uncle was staying in the house and he called us one night and was like, we can't, what the hell is going on? Like, what is going on in the attic? And why didn't you warn me about this?
They took the different approach. They're like, we cannot cohabitate.
Yes.
Demonly apparition.
Yeah. And I swear, like, it still happens. And it now I hear it because I stay in that room when I go back home.
Yeah.
And I just giggle. Because it's like all this time, like, and I know you're here. I know I sound crazy.
I'm having
but
a
like,
panic attack right now.
Dude, I want to go set up some microphone equipment up there. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Maybe get some EVP or something.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Might it be a raccoon hanging out upstairs?
Definitely a ghost. Yeah. No, it's totally possible. But it's okay. The way the room was designed, my bed. It wasn't in the attic. It was like the foot of my bed to the stairs. It was
in the room.
It was not in the attic.
Mm-hmm, wow.
So, are you okay?
Did you ever see any forms?
There was one night when I was, I did see something and I couldn't tell. So, there was, I don't know if I was dreaming. It only happened once, but I woke up. And I saw what looked like a glowy kind of thing sitting on the edge of my bed.
Oh, man.
Just like sitting there. And it Human form kind of looked like my dad. So I was like, oh, like dad? Like it kind of startled me at
radioactive
first.
Radioactive dad?
Radioactive dad, is that
Why
you?
Are you glowing, dad?
And then like a split second, this is the way my little brain registered and how I remember it. But a second later, as if it just like... reappeared on the steps, like disappeared and then reappeared on the steps. I looked up and the way that I could see the stairs, it was like, you know, you could see a head pop up basically just from like the,
like on the landing.
On the landing, yeah. And so there was a landing and I saw this figure kind of turn, like it was looking at me.
Oh man.
And then it turned and just went back down the stairs.
God. Wow.
And the same, I get like chills just like thinking about it because that's the only time I ever saw anything like, yeah, and it could have just been a dream, you guys. But no. But it really freaked that really.
Yeah, but it was.
It could have been a smudge.
It might have been a smudge.
No,
but yeah. I mean, it's been in my whole.
We've heard
in my
a few
family.
Stories where the entity or whatever you want to call it is always on the foot of the bed or something like that, or like right next to the person.
Yeah,
sharing that same space. It's so creepy.
Yeah,
I loved how you used the word how my brain registered it because. You know, God, doing this podcast for so long is I'm starting to think it's like, you know, each person, using your words, registers these things through their own kind of receivership,
sure.
You know, and everybody, I thought that sounded something. But it was like, how we interpret things and how sure. we receive them. And
what part of our brain reacts to it, stores it, like it's so interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I swear this like... I mean, this has been a story in my family for so long now that we are like used to it.
What's the activity that your mom experiences now? Has she ever seen any figures
no,
in the house?
I don't think so. I think that's why I kind of I thought maybe it was some other thing, as I said, like registered a dream or something, because no one else ever saw anything.
But you
like
spoke
that.
To it. You clearly were welcoming to it. That it maybe you just saw it one night while it was watching you sleep like a
weirdo.
Creep.
Yeah.
But
there was one detail I left out. I can't believe I left this detail out. That I just remembered. Bambi. I know this sounds really weird, but there was like a book that I remember again seeing registering that this figure had. And it was Bambi.
Wow. Like a little golden book?
A little golden book of Bambi. Yes.
Weird. Holding the book?
Like the book was a part of the figure. Yes. As if like the thing was, yeah.
That's a crazy detail.
I know. This is why I assumed it was a dream.
Did you have
like,
that
that's
book?
That's just a heart. No, I don't even know.
I wonder if it was like a dead like parent, like a father from a previous, from the previous family. That was just lingering in that house, and you were a little girl. Perhaps he had a daughter, and he would sit on that bed and read her stories. So I would be really interested to find out. Maybe you can do this in your spare time and then report back to me. Find out if you guys can find out who lived what the house's history is. Who lived in that house before you?
I think it was one woman.
One woman. Okay.
Yeah, like Sue lived there because I think the house was built in like 1955.
Did the entity have a gender, or did that you?
I
just assumed it was a man.
Right.
You did. Well, the because so of this typical. Like visual thing that I can attach to it now, but like I always felt like it was a kid. I kind of always felt like maybe I feel like if I had to just go with the feeling, it felt like a boy who like wanted to maybe play. Or something, which is crazy. Oh, I'm going to sound nuts.
No,
not at all.
But like, yeah, well, no, leave that like, to us.
Years later, I was living in Los Feliz, and I have this giant mastiff dog that I now share with an ex. His name is Frank, the dog. Mm-hmm. And
I was really hoping your ex was like a Frenchman.
Frank, it's James. But yeah, so it was different. And I had a crazy experience one night where I was on the phone. I was by myself. And it's like this house already. I was new in the house. Like I don't even think I was fully moved in yet. And it was sort of at the edge of one of those streets. It was a cul-de-sac that went into the hills, like trails went into the hills. And it was really quiet. And I just wasn't I was still getting used to that. The sounds of the coyotes and everything. And one night I was on the phone with a friend of mine. And my dog started barking. Frank started barking, but it wasn't like a protective, vicious bark. It was more like a friendly, like, but he wouldn't stop. So I kept saying like, "Oh, Frank, it's fine, Frank, whatever." And I went to the top of the stairs, and as I looked down the stairs, there was like a shadow cast on the landing. On the bottom floor that had like that was the outline of like a head and shoulders.
Shadow person.
Like a shadow person. And I froze. I was on the phone with my friend, and I remember I said, "I can't move right now, so I need you to make a phone call for me because Frank is barking, and I'm seeing your house. You know how a light casts a shadow, and when things this was not supposed to be there. Does that you know what I mean?
And it even looked like there could have been someone just standing off to the side,
and the light
and
was
the light
sort
was
of,
casting the shadow down across.
That's
the,
what I assumed. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I
you were uneasy.
So you're
to
like
say
someone
the
is
least.
In the house.
Someone's in the house. That's what I thought.
Damn.
So and I had so I went back up to my room and I said, "Will you please call my alarm company for me? I don't know if I'm crazy or what, because my other dog wasn't barking. Like, it just felt like if someone was in the house, they'd both be going nuts."
Let's err on the side of someone's in the house.
Someone's in the house. I should have probably just called the police. And I was whispering because I was like, I don't want this thing to hear me or a person to hear me. So I locked the door in the room, and she made a phone call, and they showed up a little while later, and like everything was fine. Nothing had been touched. All the doors were still locked. All the windows were still locked. And I was like, okay, I have to just assume my eyes and mind were playing tricks on me and everything's okay. Well, about a week later, if I can find the video on this, I'm going to send it to you. Frank, again, was kind of pacing around the house, and it looked like he was following something, like a bouncy ball or something.
Wow.
And Frank is like... he doesn't really like, he's just a very shy, nervous, he's a rescue, like whatever. He doesn't play that often and he doesn't, you know. And
sounds
so
like a really fun dog.
He's a blast. He's the best. Oh. But you know, he's a big mastiff, so he's very lazy. So to see him kind of pacing and playing, and he kind of had this like jovial, like his legs were kind of pawing at something or whatever.
He was interacting with something.
He seemed like he was interacting with something. And so I actually called like a medium person after all of this because I said, you know, and she did like a remote thing. She didn't come to the house or whatever.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, and she was telling me that that he has an entity that like travels with him.
Yeah. I was actually going to suggest that.
Wow.
And it's, she called him a battle buddy. She didn't know if it was a dog or human. You know, she didn't know the form, but she said, oh no, there's definitely another like energy around.
Weird.
And it's friendly, but it's a trickster. So like playing tricks and trying to scare me or trying to scare James or try, you know, she said you might have like weird stuff like that happening because this little battle buddy is like a.
I have my old upstairs neighbor in my apartment. She's a medium and works with animals and spirits. So part of me is like, I wonder if this is my neighbor.
Maybe we'll find out. But anyway, yeah. And so, and I swear, then it made me think, because that's what I always thought the ghost was in Kentucky, was like a little boy who like wanted to play,
right.
And so I was like, did this ghost like follow me to LA? And like,
maybe,
anyway, that's my crazy mind, but.
Or two separate spirits, and you just happen to be tuned into the right frequency to pick up on this stuff.
You guys, I don't, yeah, like,
you know what
it's
I mean?
So weird and untouchable, you know, like whatever. But like, I'm telling you, this was I saw something that night, I know for sure, in the house, and like that shadow. And that shadow was never there again. And then I know for sure that his eyes were following something around the
house.
Does
he still do it?
Not as much. I don't know, because he's with his dad most of the time.
Right.
We're a modern family. But in times that I've had him over the last couple of years, that trickster thing has come to mind, because weird shit would happen with him where like, you know, I would set his collar and leash down in a certain place. I set it in the same kind of bowl area like all the time. And then like his collar would be missing. And then it would be like, I would search all these different places, and then it would be in one of the places I searched, like as a joke. Like someone was watching me and like laughing at me.
Whoa.
And so, yeah. And then it happened to he has a dog walker. So once when I was working, I got three panicked phone calls from the dog walker who was
really?
Like, I can't find Frank's collar. And I was like, check here, check here, check here. And
also check in the glowing vortex in the back.
Right. I mean, there's
and
a little
like,
portal in the corner, but I didn't look in there. Check
but
the portal.
Like,
also, your plates are floating around in midair in your kitchen, and the chairs are all balanced on top of one another.
You guys, I sound so nuts, but I love being able to talk about this stuff because it's
no,
like,
listen,
your front doors turn into a human mouth.
I think it's more common than you'd like to think. It's
right.
It's so interesting. You know, a lot of our guests who, you know, most of the time they have had an experience or something that they can't explain, even when they're not really kind of like, you know, they're not like into all this stuff, but still they, you know, they've had experiences. And I think it happens to more people than people like to admit, you know.
My aunt and uncle lived in a house in Templeton, California, that it had some weird energy in there, totally a weird trickster spirit. Shit would disappear, and they would find it in the most random places all the time. Mm. It was a weird, so. I mean,
hear that story a lot, I feel
it's
like,
a, it's
the
a common,
trickster thing. Yeah.
It's a common thing. I mean, for being an uncommon thing,
yeah.
it's a common trope in the sort of like ghosts and spooky entity.
See,
category.
For me, that's when the for sale sign ends up out in the front lawn. It's like, I'm fucking out of here. I don't need that in my life.
I just picture you marching outside with a lawn chair, just sitting across. It's like, I'm not coming back in until that thing's out. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and we come back, we're going to have this week's tale of high strangeness.
Cool.
And we're back with the completely insane Maggie Lawson.
You guys, I'm like, oh my God, I'm telling these stories.
No, this is what we do on this show. You're in a safe place. Okay, so, you know what we didn't do?
What?
And we should kick it off right now. We forgot to play
Bullshit or believe it.
Now, Maggie,
yeah.
This is a rapid fire game where I'm going to list stuff one by one, mm-hmm. and you're going to say whether you think it's bullshit
mm-hmm.
or you believe it.
Okay.
Now, it's rapid fire.
Okay.
One, and then if there's anything you want to circle back to, we can.
I love this.
Okay.
But yeah. No qualifiers.
You no qualifiers.
Got it. No, I got it. I got it.
All right. She knows what's up.
All right.
All right. Ready?
I'm ready.
Set. Ghosts.
Believe it.
UFOs.
Believe it.
Bigfoot.
Bullshit.
Angels.
Believe it.
Gnomes.
Bullshit.
JFK assassination conspiracies.
Bullshit.
Fairies.
Bullshit.
Unicorns.
Believe it. Kidding. Bullshit.
Loch Ness Monster.
Bullshit.
Alien Grays.
Oh, believe it.
Parallel universes.
Believe it.
Reptilians disguising themselves as humans.
Bullshit.
Mermaids.
Bullshit.
Heaven.
Believe it.
Hell.
Bullshit.
Dragons.
Oh my God. Bullshit.
Yeti. Some of these are softballs. Yeti.
Bullshit.
Elves.
Bullshit.
ESP.
Believe it.
El Chupacabra.
Believe it.
Demons.
Believe it.
Atlantis.
Believe it.
Life on other planets.
Believe it.
World peace.
Oh, I want to believe it.
Great. Well done. Wait, I got to go back real quick.
Wait, what did I...
So you don't believe in hell, but you do believe in demons.
Yes, I believe in... I think that there can be... how do I say this? Like entities that can trigger very negative experiences.
Malevolent spirits.
Yes, for Got people. It. But I don't, it's very hard for me to believe. I believe in an afterlife. So I'm calling that like heaven, that is like a heaven versus like a hell, that's like an option.
Right. Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. That's kind of where I tend to fall on.
Yeah.
Okay, so for this week's tale of high strangeness, I bring you the tale of Momo, the Missouri monster. Now, this is not to be confused with a weird sort of Reddit, internet, creepypasta thing that's happening in the past like year called Momo, which is like sort of like all the, I don't know if it's real or not, but it's a creepypasta tale being passed around of a, someone took a photo of this weird sculpture in an art exhibit in Japan that's like a harpy, and it kind of looks like a Pixar monster. And then there's been like stories being passed around that if you call a certain number on WhatsApp, Momo, this monster, will start telling you to do weird things and then ultimately encourage you to commit suicide.
Oh my God.
But no one knows if this is like a real thing or not.
I'll test it out.
Yeah, great. go call that number. I'm going to figure it out. You'll report back to us next week. Yeah, it's like, it's one of those like urban legends being passed around right now. Mm-hmm. Online, but we're going with the OG Momo, which is short for Missouri Monster.
Cool.
On July 11th, 1972, in Louisiana, Missouri, 15-year-old Doris Harrison was watching her 8 and 5-year-old brothers, Terry Keith and Wally Paul, while her father Edgar was at his job at the public works and her mother Betty was down at the cafe in town. Working there, I should have said, but... They ran a cafe and then it went out of business because Betty didn't know how to be a working mother. It's true.
Oh, bummer.
I got that in the... I'm not shaming
bummer
her.
Bummer detail.
I promise. Wow. I'm not this was in... That was in...
That's going to take a different... That'll take a different chord, Riley.
That was in the St. Louis Dispatch story from 1972. She said, that's when I used to work at the cafe, but, you know, it became too difficult. What with all the children? Right. Right, anyway, so she was down working at the cafe.
Uh-huh.
Now, Terry Keith and Wally Paul were playing in their at the home at the bottom of Marzolf Hill in the front yard when they came running into the house, screaming. Doris would later tell the St. Louis Dispatch that Terry Keith's face was so white that you could no longer see his red freckles. Apparently now, the boys had seen some type of large creature in the tree line. Despite Terry Keith looking like a ghost, Doris figured that the boys were just teasing. So she scolded them and told them to go, you know, play inside. But a few minutes later, when Doris looks out the window, she saw something that would scare her to death. Lumbering out of the trees and into the backyard came a giant, furry cryptid walking on two legs, said to be 7 to 8 feet tall, with matted fur covering its face and body. The monster was drenched in blood and seemingly carrying fresh kill, some type of animal under its arm.
Weird.
Now, during a recent interview, the adult Doris told the show Monsters and Mysteries in America, "I have never seen the Lord Jesus Christ, but I have seen Momo.
The devil. Momo.
The devil."
Doris phoned her mother at the cafe, and Betty got a hold of Doris's father, Edgar, and the two of them came home to check on their frightened children. Momo, however, was nowhere to be seen. Doris's dad, a Pentecostal deacon, and her boyfriend, Richard Bliss, who she would later go on to marry, they grabbed their guns, and they went out into the surrounding area in the hillside to search for the creature. They found the grass and brush were matted where the kids said that they saw the beast. Something heavy had been lurking around the property. They even found large footprints. And an incredible stench lingered in the air.
Dude, this guy is ripping off Bigfoot.
Yeah. But no sign of Momo. That night, Doris's dad held their weekly prayer meeting in the backyard as he strummed on his guitar and read from his Bible. I don't know if he did both of those things at the same time, but
it'd be impressive if he did.
I'm sure one of the women was holding the Bible in front of him. So
maybe he was memorized. Timothy 1:2, my favorite passage.
Timothy.
Timothy 1:2.
Is there a book of the Bible called Timothy?
I think so, right?
I don't think there
Okay,
is.
Leviticus.
Now, we will now turn to Steve 12:11.
First and Second Timothy, isn't there?
What a leap.
There probably is.
That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Right.
Yeah.
Acts.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Timmy, Louie, Huey, Dewey, Uncle Scrooge.
Oh, for God's sakes. I used to have to memorize the books of the Bible. If I say there's a Timothy, I'm pretty sure there's a Timothy. Unless there's not.
I'm crying.
Well, we'll stick with Leviticus then.
Just stick with Leviticus. Oh, man.
Makes you kind of want to know now, doesn't it?
Yes. You're totally Googling it.
Everyone turn to the passage of Bradley. Chad. That's all now. Open to the book of Chad. Where was I? I don't remember. We're having a prayer meeting.
He was out in the backyard. All right.
Yeah, he was strumming and reading a Bible.
Reading Timothy 1:2 from his Bible.
This story was put together haphazardly.
He's right. There's a Timothy.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Is there really? In the New Testament?
It's a sub-book in the New Testament.
Jeez Louise.
I don't think we learned this one.
The second apostle of Paul to Timothy.
All right.
Okay. Usually referred to simply as Second Timothy.
Wow,
Second
good job.
Thank
you.
I knew you were a religious weirdo.
Okay.
Jesus. Well, I guess we have Jesus egg on our face, don't we? Oh, my God. That was really funny. All right. Well.
Maybe you could say he was out in the backyard reading an uncommon book of the Bible.
Right. Okay.
All right.
So they're doing all that.
Mm-hmm.
When suddenly, wait, do you have a little, Amazing Grace you can play for us?
Whoa.
There you go.
Nice.
Playing on his Bible. When suddenly a large howl came from the hillside. The monster was back. Family and friends jumped to their feet. Edgar said, "It's coming off the hill!"
Wow.
And whatever it was coming down the hillside fast, and it sounded large and angry. The adults rounded up the kids, and Doris's family fled to Betty's brother's house. It would be many days before they felt safe to return to their home in Marzoff Hill.
When was this, Michael?
1972.
Okay.
July. In the following weeks, rumors of Louisiana, Missouri's very own Bigfoot started to spread. The creature was agreed to be anywhere between 7 to 12 feet tall, with a hidden face, glowing eyes, and brought with it that unbearable stench.
Yeah.
It was also said that the monster's favorite dish... I'm sorry, Maggie.
Dog.
Were local dogs.
Whoa.
And a number of them were missing that summer. Now, here's a couple fun sketches of the Momo. You might see here an illustration. Here's one. Kind of looks like he'd fit in with the Addams family.
Yeah.
Totally.
And if you can see this one, he's got that big pumpkin-shaped head red eyes.
Everything you were describing in your story, you know, reeked of Bigfoot, but those pictures are definitely not what the average eyewitness.
No.
He's said to have a much bigger head and no neck. I'll find some more examples for you. So basically, in the weeks that follow, Momo gets his name, the Missouri Monster. In popular culture, he's depicted as a Bigfoot-type creature with a pumpkin-shaped head, red eyes peering out from a tangled mess of hair covering his face. And Sheriff Ward, the local sheriff, well, he rounded up a posse and went hunting on Mars Off Hill, but found nothing. Newspapers picked up the story.
Any excuse to round up a posse.
I know, right? And this is a sleepy little town. This is like 4,000 people. It's a small town. It's not big. On the northeast border, I think, of Missouri. Newspapers picked up the story, went national, St. Louis Dispatch. That's when that story was written. Monster hunters swooped in on Louisiana, Missouri, and suddenly everyone wanted a piece of Momo. Now, cryptozoologist Hayden C. Hughes, the director of the Oklahoma City-based Sasquatch Investigations of Mid-America, it was an offshoot of the International UFO Bureau that he founded in 1957. He investigated the case and had this to say about the story in an interview years later. What impressed me was the willingness of people to talk to us. Normally, people are reluctant to talk about these things, said Hughes, 61. This was not just one person spitting in a can saying, "Yes, sir, I saw it right over there." These were good quality people who were enthusiastic about what was going on. And here's a photo of, I like this guy. He looks like, he reminds me of Rich Summer from Mad Men. Totally. Doesn't
totally.
He look like Rich?
Yes.
And he just seems like a cool guy going in and checking out monsters. And he'd actually been down there to speculate and figure out if Momo was connected to any UFO activity.
Oh, yeah.
He was probably one of, I would guess, and I don't know this, but I would guess, Bryce, he's one of the earliest cryptozoologists to start linking Bigfoot and UFO
Good
sightings. And I don't know too much about this guy. This is the first I'd really heard of him. He passed away, I believe, in just in the past year or two. But I want to do some more research on him because he sounds really cool. So other sightings that occurred during this period, two teachers in a classroom full of children saw what they claimed to be Momo standing outside the window in the schoolyard.
Mm.
And there were about 20 to 22 witnesses in total between the kids and the teachers. A lot of people were finding a lot of broken tree, big, heavy broken tree branches, hearing that howl, smelling that stench. Supposedly Momo tipped over a sports car and knocked it into a ditch.
Wow.
People spotted Momo crossing the highway carrying a dead dog or sheep in its arms.
Man.
A man by the name of, I believe, Dave Ellis encountered Momo one night sitting out on his porch when his dogs went crazy. The dogs are okay. He said that he spotted the creature in his flashlight standing in the road near his house, sniffing out the yard as if he was getting a sense of the dogs. And the man was like, "I got to get my animals inside." He retreated into the house. One of my favorite anecdotes of this story is Mayor Tom Wallace took a troop of Boy Scouts up on Mars Off Hill as well to go kill the monster.
Come on,
he
boys.
Armed them with
wow.
axes
That's great.
And baseball bats and shotguns. And then he was like, "Let's go get him. We're going to go." He got this like a bunch
Momo
of like
badge.
Boy Scouts.
Y'all going to get a new badge.
Yeah.
It's called the Momo badge.
Yeah.
Now get your tents.
It's like something out of Moonrise Kingdom. I feel all these kids going out to hunt a monster in the woods. And, you know, once again, I feel like this is something I totally would have gotten on board with.
Your inhaler, Bobby.
Yeah, I would have totally gone and done this. But once again, the search turned up nothing. Mm. And some locals speculated the monster might even have a long tail that wiped away tracks in its wake as it walked away. Now, eventually, another footprint was found in a garden and a plaster cast was made. It produced a specimen that showed a deep heel, which indicates the weight of the monster, mm-hmm. and three toes instead of the typical five. Now, if you remember back to when we watched The Legend of Boggy Creek for our Patreon episode, the tracks in Boggy Creek, the monster in Boggy Creek was said to have three toes as well. And that was down in, was it Arkansas or Alabama? I think it's in Arkansas. I messed it up on this show. I have a picture of the cast here, Bryce. You'll see it. It looks almost more like it's very tiny if you want to pass it around. Sure. It almost looks like a dinosaur print. I mean, it's almost more reptilian than primate to me. If it's real, obviously. But
we just assume that it is on this show.
Oh, interesting.
Right? Isn't that
dog manish too, you know what
it's
I mean?
Bird-like.
Yeah, like, a bit.
Yeah,
a bit bird-like. Here, check it out, Riley. Just nods.
Hell yeah!
All right, so
interesting.
Checks out.
Hughes, you know, again, said this about the case, and this will wrap it up. These people didn't want to sell something. They didn't want publicity. They just wanted to share their stories. I never got any inkling that there was a hoax. The Momo scare lasted only 2 weeks, but it triggered a media frenzy. Television and newspaper journalists from across the nation descended on the small town. Mm. I did close to 75 television and newspaper interviews. They flew me to Chicago to do some television there. There were people around us shooting documentaries. We haven't had a case that well documented since. We researched Bigfoot sightings in 8 states, mainly to see if there was any connection with UFO sightings, he said. With Momo, we found there was no correlation whatsoever with UFOs. Mm. And Hughes said that the investigation suggested that there are families of nocturnal Bigfoot creatures that continuously migrate across the nation from the Pacific Northwest to the Southeast. He said, the path begins around Oregon and Washington State. It crosses Oklahoma the first week of September and then finishes in Florida.
Weird.
So it could have been, that was Crypto's, from Crypto Zoology News. But that could have, it could be that some of these creatures that we're seeing in the Midwest, like Momo, who are just appear for a little while, or the Boggy Creek monster, they might be on some sort of migration path from one area of the country to another.
Sure.
Interesting.
Maybe that's why we get them as far down as the bayou and the swamps in Florida with creatures like Skunk Ape.
Yeah.
All right. Well, another quick break. When we come back, we're going to ask Maggie Lawson, what the hell was that? Maggie, we ask all of our guests after we hear these stories, what the hell was
that? What the hell was that?
Don't know, guys.
That leaves four of us.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I don't know. What do you think? Is this kids seeing stuff in the woods? Is this people getting a little excited over nothing?
Oh, in the story?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like there might be a little something to it. I don't know. I'm kind of believing these things a little bit, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Are you a, what do you know about Bigfoot? Are you like
nothing.
A Sasquatch?
No.
Are you open to the idea? You're an animal lover.
Yes.
Are you open to the idea of there being some sort of undiscovered primate species?
For sure.
Roaming around. Great.
A large wood ape.
Of course
I
am.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I would love to rescue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I'm kidding.
Right.
Yeah, I feel, I don't know. I get a little like, this story feels a little.
Campy.
Campy is the right word.
Yeah.
Yes. Like that is perfect.
It is strange. I don't know what, I don't know how to wrap my head around it either because, you know, when you're describing in your story an 8-foot hairy creature that has a stench, I mean, you immediately go to Bigfoot or a skunk ape, you know, which people report. You know, all across the nation, especially in those kind of Midwestern to lower states. But then you get a few different characteristics that kind of like move it out of the mark, like the large pumpkin head, or I mean, maybe it was a Bigfoot with a some sort of abnormality, or
that's what I was thinking. Possible. Or maybe it's just hair was so matted and
bad hair day.
Dreaded, you know, that, you know, you've seen animals, you know, you've seen pictures of dogs and cats where their fur gets so, they're so ill-treated that they, it just clumps up and becomes really, really matted. And maybe he had something like that on, the fur on his head was just so gross, you know, so ill-tamed.
Oh, so it appeared.
That it appeared to be like a pumpkin. Yeah, much larger than it was, especially if no one really got a good look at it. I'm just fascinated by these cases where we just get these, like in the Lake Worth monster, where which was a goat man like creature or a Sasquatch, we don't really know. It's sort of like, again, a Sasquatch with like a little bit of just different details to it that that seemed to appear for just a couple weeks time in a small town, and suddenly everyone in the small town is talking about it, and then it kind of just vanishes.
Well, and the three-toed track too. I mean, this is what what moves me out of the out of the side that of the community that rests, this is just an undiscovered type of unknown primate. You know, that's all it is. You know, it eats and migrates and moves like a,
I love like this a primate. Casual crypto as well. That's all it
that's
is.
That's all it is. Don't be alarmed.
Don't be alarmed. It's just a giant hairy monster.
It's not a monster
that
coming
lives
out
in the
never
woods.
Seen before.
That's all it is, y'all.
Yeah, but no, there's these. There's these little differences in these in a lot of these stories that, you know, that move this more for me into like the into the paranormal zone, not just some, you know, some wood ape that we haven't yet found. This to me, you know, reeks of paranormality.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
Maggie,
it is weird.
You are someone who, according to your story, and this I'm still fascinated by, that you were not scared by the ghost living in your house.
I say I was the first night, but kind of after that point when I was like, oh, okay, I'm used to this now. It was almost one of those things where it's like, I have to be. Like, I had no...
Yeah, what are you going to do? Yeah. Mom, can we move?
My room. Yeah.
I would have... I was such an anxious and scary kid about this stuff that I would have just never been able to sleep.
Yeah.
Like, I would have not... I would have had a psychological breakdown. I really do think... if you were to encounter something like this, or when you hear stories about this, does this stuff freak you out? Does like the idea of like some large hairy monster lurking about, does that scare you?
I mean, it does, yes, because we don't know. I think it's just that the unknown of, and so we can't say yes and you can't say no, like that's possible. So the idea of seeing something that we've never seen before, encountering something we've never seen before, and something that we can't, you know, research or find, or that is, of course, it's terrifying, because then it just, then your brain goes to, you know, all that we don't know,
right?
And
it kind of blows the door wide open.
Exactly.
That's what I always freaked me about like ghosts and stuff like this as a kid, or aliens especially. It's like, well, if that's real, then what else is real, and how little do we really understand of reality? And to me, that was, now I'm very excited by that idea, but it terrified me as a kid. And when you listen, you know, I watched Monsters and Mysteries in America, and Doris Harrison Bliss, as an adult looking back on this story, she still seems genuinely terrified by what she saw in the yard that day. She was very, very scared. That's why she was like, she said it kind of ruined her life, that after this, she could never fully get away from the story, could never get away from the stigma of being an eyewitness to this creature. And her boyfriend, now husband, he was also interviewed, and he's like, yeah, we were all sitting there. We heard this thing. We heard the sound it made. We heard the large noise, and it was scary. Like, they talked about being really, really terrified from it. And I think maybe once after that initial encounter took place, you know, the town kind of took it and ran with it and got a little excited, because, you know, it's a small town. And it's just kind of cool to be like, hey, did you hear there's a monster around? You know, and
no, these things take on a life of their own.
Yeah.
I mean, when you told me the, you know, how many interviews they sent this guy on and like and news reports. I mean, that's a big pickup on the story. And I personally had never heard of the Momo, so this was a new one for me.
I hadn't either, and I grew up in Kansas City, which is, you know, I was right on the Kansas side, but, you know, basically grew up with a foot in Missouri. And I had not heard this story either, but it seemed to be really popular in the cryptozoological world in the 70s. Like, there's more art of it from that time than you would. I think it had a little moment of popularity.
That's cool.
But it's just funny because the way it's depicted mostly looks like, you remember that orange furry monster from the Bugs Bunny cartoons?
Yeah.
It kind of looks like that in a lot of the popular culture takes on it. But it's another weird fun cryptid.
Yeah, it's perfect for the podcast. Thanks for bringing it to light.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, I want to thank our guest, Maggie Lawson.
Yay. Thank you, Maggie.
Now, Maggie, you're going to stay around for a little bit longer, and we're going to have an extra chat that we're going to post up on the Patreon.
Yay.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But before we go,
I
wanted to thank you, and I want to ask, do you have anything to plug coming up?
Oh, my gosh. That's so sweet. Well, you mentioned Lethal Weapon.
And what do you play on that show?
I will be playing. So they've they've brought on a new character. Sean William Scott is playing a new character. It's not the Riggs character. You know, there was a whole thing, but anyway, so they brought him on, and with Sean, with his character Cole, comes a whole backstory, and I'm playing his ex girlfriend, baby mama, that he's of back to sort of repair things with.
Awesome.
It's complicated.
Is it fun? Are you having a good time on
I'm having a blast.
That's
and
awesome.
He's so sweet. And it's been really fun so far.
Oh,
it's
good.
Wild. The show's crazy. Like, it's so, the schedule's insane. That like they're shooting several episodes at once. It's nuts. We had like a picture car got stolen from set this week. We had a stunt that like, it was crazy. So it's nuts, just like the show.
Man, well, I know you've been busy, and we're very lucky to have you. So thank you.
Yes,
for
thank
coming.
You very much.
And
that premieres when? September 12th, I think?
25th.
25th,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So ignore what I said.
Yeah, you
said.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I looked it up online. I saw it on Fox News. Riley, do you have anything to plug?
You can follow the studio at Space Camp Recorders and follow all the antics and hijinks of the studio outside of BCC. And
also known as the clubhouse.
Yes.
Here it is. On this
hell yeah.
That's true.
Bryce?
Yeah. Hey, guys. Thanks for, you know, I've been combing through some of the Instagram comments and the direct messages, and also was looking through some of your emails that you've been sending us. And I just want to say, you know, thank you for all the positive feedback. It really... you know, it's really kind of uplifted me to know that this is connecting with a few people and that they like our show and that they like, you know, telling us stories of their own. I think that's a really cool aspect of what we do. So
yeah,
thank absolutely. You for that.
We're now hearing through the grapevine of people who we don't even know telling people that we do know to watch the show.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Please continue to spread the word. I'm, you know, our audience is growing. You guys are doing such a great job of like spreading the podcast, and please continue to do so. It means so much to us. And like Bryce said, send in your own stories to BigfootCollectorsClub@gmail.com. We're due for another listener
file.
Episode.
We read them all, so
we'll
they do not
soon.
Go missed. Yeah,
yeah, we love reading your paranormal encounters.
So
please
cool,
keep
you guys.
Sending them.
And also today is August 29th, Wednesday. The first issue of my new comic book series, Adventure Van, is in shops today.
Go get it.
Or on the Comixology app. You can get it on your tablet if your comic shop did not order it. So go get that or download it, please. It means so much to me. And there's going to be a lot. Honestly, there's a lot of stuff that we talk about on this show that has made its way into this comic book. So I think you'll appreciate it from that perspective as well.
Awesome.
All right, guys. Until next week, we remain the Bigfoot Collectors Club. Peace, love, UFOs.
Yeah, we'll take you out with this. Little boy ghost with a Bambi book. Little boy ghost with a Bambi book.
Well, now I'm scared.
Nice. See ya.
Bye.
Bigfoot Collectors Club is produced by Riley Bray. Our theme song is Come Alone by Sun Eaters, courtesy of Lotus Pool Records. If you like the show, please rate and review us on iTunes. It really helps get the podcast to more listeners. To support the show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/Bigfoot Collectors Club and unlock multiple reward episodes every month.
Hey guys, Heather Ashley here, host of the Big Mad True Crime Podcast. If you're looking for a true crime podcast with all of the details and none of the small talk, you have found your people. Each week, we dive deep into a new case and learn everything there is to know, from getting to know the victim and the impact their case has had on those around them, to the investigation into what happened to them and who is or might be responsible. And if the bad guy looks like he might drink whiskey by a dumpster or has the social skills of an ogre, we say it because we were all thinking it anyway. As the name suggests, we get big mad over true crime, and I would love to have you join our incredible community of listeners with big hearts and zero time for small talk. Subscribe to Big Mad True Crime anywhere you listen to podcasts and listen to new episodes every single Monday.
Hey, this is Eric Molinsky, host of the podcast Imaginary Worlds. Each episode, I explore different sci-fi fantasy genres, talking with filmmakers, novelists, game designers, cosplayers, comic book artists, and anyone who works in the field of make-believe. I also look at the fan experience, asking, why do we suspend our disbelief? You can subscribe to Imaginary Worlds wherever you get your podcasts.